Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
How to make your living room wall as beautiful as your Instagram
profile. Oh, I'm excited about this. And I'm going to show you how to get the best seats at your favorite restaurant.
And if you are in the Houston area and you want to help out with Harvey Relief, we have an app for that.
It's all coming up next on iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Jamf Now, Apple management software for Mac, iPad, and iPhone devices. Visit jamf.com/iOS today to create your free Jamf Now account and manage your first three devices free. iOS Today time. Hello, everybody. Leah Laporte here.
Megan Maroney over here.
This is the show where we cover all the stuff that's running iOS, even if it might say it's running tvOS or watchOS. We're talking iPhone, iPad, the watch, the television.
We keep the eye in it.
We keep the eye in iOS. And the O in the O. No, it's that time again. So we're going to do photos today.
Yes, photos, turning your photos into stuff. Art, books, coffee mugs, shower curtains.
You can pretty much make anything.
Duvet covers.
Actually, I forgot to bring in the Fracture stuff. One of our sponsors does beautiful glass prints from iOS.
Oh, Fracture is a sponsor?
Yeah. Did you know that?
Well, now I do.
So I'll get the Fracture stuff and show you, because that stuff blows me away.
Do you remember when you used to be watching the Brady Bunch and like they were in Hawaii and it was like there was about to be a snake bitten person or something and it was like, to be continued? We're going to have to show off some of our stuff that we've created next week, like a Brady Bunch episode.
Oh, because it takes a while to get it.
Yes. We have some stuff, and then sometimes stuff gets forgotten at home because some people don't remind people to bring it.
So the only thing I didn't bring is the ZNO album.
Okay.
So we have a lot of stuff.
We do. We have a lot of
stuff. And the ZNO is something I've shown on this show before. It's just one more place to get your stuff printed. But I've never done like calendar. I feel like I'm a slacker. I've never done a mug or calendar or a t-shirt or anything. So
I've done all the things.
One thing I have done is a t-shirt, and I should have brought that in. I forgot. I forgot. That is another thing.
I made
a wonderful t-shirt with Lisa on it.
I remember. We've seen that. Yeah.
I'll show you how to do it.
So you've probably seen, like, if you use Instagram a lot, maybe you've probably seen these ads pop up for, you can turn your photos into little tiles, square tiles. There's a bunch of companies doing this now. You were out of town. I showed one of them that I had done. Now, I'm sort of addicted to these, and I'm trying to find the best one. There's mixed tiles. There's photo tiles. There's mesh canvas. And if you take a look at my screen, you can see what I'm creating on my wall. So I've created all of these little squares just for my Instagram photos, and I'm making a giant canvas on the wall. And I brought a couple
of them. So this is your wall?
That's my wall. That's my photo
wall. That is really neat. So every time you print one of these, you can put them up on the wall.
Yeah, and they look really nice on the wall. They're foam core. They're just foam core.
So they're light, which is nice.
Yeah, they're light, and then they stick on the wall.
Oh, they have little stickums.
Yeah,
on the back. Let me look at the quality. It's pretty good quality.
Yeah,
too.
The photo.
It's not great, but it's good enough for your wall.
Right, for looking at it. So these are mixed tiles, and these thick ones are called mixed tiles, and the thin ones are called photo squared. And I think the quality of the photo on the mixed tile is a little better. You can
it
see
is.
That.
It's beautiful. And how much? Oh, that's. Is it two things mixed together? Why do they call it a mixed tile?
Because you can mix and match them, and you can move them around.
Oh.
So you can stick them on the wall, and then you can move them.
I like
you can
them.
Pull them off the wall without
I like
damaging
that.
Them.
Yeah.
So the photo squared. Those are the little ones that are a little bit thinner, and I find them a little bit easier to pull off and put back on. It's four for $44, and then after that, they're $9 each.
Four.
The first four are $11 each.
And then after that,
it gets $9.
Less expensive.
Yeah, you know, you're buying a bulk.
But they don't have to be the same picture each time.
No, no. No.
So it's shipping, really, that probably is costing mm-hmm. them. Okay.
And then the mixed tiles are three for $49, $9. So mixed tiles are a little bit more expensive. But, and then I just ordered some more from Mesh Canvas. They'll arrive next week. So that's, and I did so that. See, they do something different. I did one photo, to, you know, broken up
and
into
split
three
it
pieces.
Into a triptych. Yeah. I like that. That's kind of cool.
And those are, I ordered five of those for $66.
Nice.
So you'd have to do the math to figure out exactly.
Very nice.
And that's from Mesh Canvas from Printage. And they're super easy. I'll just show the app a little bit.
I love the idea of printing them because so often you have digital photos that are in your computer or your laptop mm-hmm. or your iPad and you don't ever look at them. So right. having them on the wall is great.
So it's very, I mean, you know, it's an iPhone app, but you can see if I wanted to create, Annabelle just got a snake, a ball python yesterday. So maybe I want to create a picture of her with her snake. And I took a lot of pictures of her with her snake. So, and then I select two more squares. I'll select these and then ready to check out. Super easy. Where would you ship? How would you like to pay? And then they arrive very quickly. So if you're thinking of what to put on your wall, I recommend some of these. I think Photo Squared are my favorite right now. Photo Squared. But mixed tiles are fine.
And because they're square, it makes sense to get them from
Instagram. Yeah,
right?
You can edit them in the app as well to make them square.
Right.
But you can just get them from your, or you can take a bunch of square photos with your iPhone.
Yeah. It's funny. There are a lot of services that kind of are for Instagram. And I think that's because so many people do Instagram photos, and that's like where your pictures are stored, right? I'm trying to find the one that I've used before for Instagram. Oh, it's called Chatbooks, and that's also an app. Let me just show you real quickly. I'll install it here. And while I'm installing Chatbooks, because I think it was on my was on another. Well, you know, it's that's why I don't have it on here. It's an iPhone app. So. Let me quickly download it and show you. But while I'm doing that, let me show you how I made that great shirt of Lisa.
Okay.
And it was, there's Chatbooks. But let me show you Yo Shirt. And this is an iPad app that allows you to take any of these things. So canvas bags. I don't know why that's in the women's section, but tank tops, that kind of thing. And add, let me get out of this again. How do I get out of that? Well, I guess I'm going to, I know. If I press the plus, I can choose. So they have socks. Printing on socks is great. And you can divide the picture up so that when people put their feet together, it makes one picture. I always love it. What are you laughing at?
Well,
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to do that. Okay. So here's the socks. Now, you can, of course, take existing things, which is kind of fun, like a cactus. And see, it's you can have how it's split. So it will look like when it's just one sock, it's just half a cactus. You get what I'm get where I'm going?
Yeah.
But let's choose a photo from my vast collection of fabulous photos. Actually, this one I took specifically for this event because I wanted to make this be.
Oh.
See, these are sunglasses in a tree, but I thought it'd be kind of funny if I split that some socks. So you can rotate it. You can do other things with it, you know, add pictures and so forth. You can, but like once you got it right now, don't you think you would like to wear those socks?
I like them. I think 2017 is the year of the sunglasses and a tree sock.
You can do other things. They have color. I mean, this is a design studio that allows you to do more than just photos. But once you've picked your socks, we can go to my shopping cart. Oops, let me add it to the, shopping cart. How do I do that? It's been a while since I did this. Maybe. Oh, we can share it too. I can share it to people. I can post this on Twitter if I really want to promote the tree sock motif. I'll figure that out. Let's see. What else could we do? Should we do another picture? Let's choose another photo.
Yes.
And put it on a tank top. I like to take pictures of my wife, but I think I can, in this case, put a little guy using an iPhone. Now, notice you can have it. You can have it be like that, mm-hmm. like just the picture with the white border around it. But what I did with the other print that I did is pick a print that you can blow up and take over the whole thing. It's hard to describe how they print these. It's in the fabric. So you can totally do, for want of a better phrase, a full bleed image in the shirt, which is great. I mean, I really like that. So I'll add that to the cart for sure.
And I really think you should get that and wear it next week.
Should I? Tank top? Okay. To be continued. You buy it. That was $35. That's including the printing. I think that's fair. I really like this. And what I'm really like, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it in, is the quality of the shirts. So a lot of times when you get a shirt with a logo on it, sometimes it's like an almost like an iron-on sticker, right? They inkjet printed it, they ironed it on. I don't like that. No. It feels bad when you wear it and washes off over time or cracks. But these, they're actually weaving them into the fabric of the shirt. They're poly, so if you like cotton, you know, you're out of luck. But there's something about it. They're able to weave it into the fabric of the shirt. And I think that really works well. It lasts a long time. I've had the shirt with Lisa on it for almost 2 years now. And it's worn beautifully. And I only wear it like special occasions when I want to surprise her. But it's really great if you wear it, you can like unbutton your shirt and say, look. And so consider that. Or take off your shoes and show your socks.
Yeah. You're always in my heart or on my feet.
Yeah. I love the sock thing. Have you seen people? Lisa does that all the time. She's got lots of socks that when you put your feet together, they make a picture. You could do that.
What?
Yo shirt. Y-O. And there it is. Free, of course. Yeah. Design and buy your own custom clothing. And it's not just photos, but it's a great way to put photos on clothes or canvas bags.
Great for gifts. Well, Shutterfly, of course, pioneered a lot of this, putting photos on all of our stuff.
They've been around forever.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about them much until Scott Bourne was here, one of my favorite wildlife photographers. And it was on the new screensavers a few weeks ago. Somebody asked, well, what do you use? He said, Shutterfly. And I was stunned.
Mm-hmm.
They're aggressive. They get more, good. Look at this, 50% off for end of summer. They have lots of deals, and they do anything.
Well, yeah, those of us who have, you know, kids who are, you know, 12, 13, 14, that's where all my kids' babies' pictures are. Because
they're all on Instagram. Isn't that interesting?
They're all on Shutterfly.
Shutterfly.
Because there was no Facebook. There was no Instagram.
I was kind of hoping, because I hadn't used Shutterfly in years, when I logged into my account, all my pictures from years gone by would be there, but they weren't.
Well, mine are still there. And Shutterfly now has auto backup. So it can automatically back up.
It does
which is
great. Google Photos and Amazon Prime Photos do. And it's free storage forever.
So I have all these pictures of my cousin and his wife because I made them a photo book. They got married like 5 years ago, I think. And I said, you know, they shared all their pictures with me and I made them a beautiful photo book, which, you know,
I
was there. It was to sign at the wedding. So lots of pictures. And
let's see it. Because you have.
Well, this is a photo book I made in 2009. So I thought I would bring this and show how it holds up. I probably made it in 2010.
It's beautiful.
I had this goal of.
It looks like a yearbook.
Yes. I was going to create one every year. And guess how many times I did it? Just 2009.
But you have that. And you know what? You'll always look back on that was the best year.
Yeah. Good high quality paper.
It really looks nice.
It was a good
year. I can see why Scott likes it because it really looks nice.
And you can write.
They're beautiful prints.
Text in there. It was my parents' 40th anniversary, so I did that. And look, I made another Shutterfly book of them. It's that for them.
Which they have.
Yes, which they still have. And, you know, you can do collages. And this is nice. Even though it's just 1 year, it's nice to look back and think, oh, my goodness, my kids were so little so long ago. There's me in a mud mask. And, just all the adventures.
And your
that
skin
you
still looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
Eight years later. Yeah.
And look, I wrote a lot of text here. And just described what we did. I went on this. Those all my best friends from high school, and we took all of our little ones.
Look how little Huck and Milo are.
I know. There they are.
Where's Annabella?
She wasn't there because Marco was speaking at Sonoma Academy graduation. So. Wait,
see how much you remember about 2009
I don't
that you
anything.
Wouldn't
it
remember
says
otherwise?
Marco is the graduation speaker at Sonoma Academy.
Exactly. That's
year.
Why he's not in the picture and Annabella's. See, but now you know that. That's why it's great. I think that was a great idea. You should go back in time and do that for every year.
I mean, I probably have one
you could
started
do it.
In here.
You could do it because you probably have all your pictures.
I do.
And
I have all the photos. And I mean, mean, if I went and looked through my projects, you'd probably see all these unfinished
But they
projects.
Do everything. Teacups, you know, calendars. It's a nice gift for the end of the year. As we come close to the end of the year, now would be a good time to maybe think about doing calendars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great gift for, you know, grandparents, mm-hmm. is a calendar with all the kids' pictures in it.
Home decor.
And people over a certain age still use calendars, so.
Fleece blankets.
Wow. Pillows. I like pillows. Yeah.
So metal prints.
Yeah, I'm a fan of metal prints. I am. Let me show you this. This is what I was talking about, chat books.
Okay.
So this, what you did took a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were doing captions and everything. Chat books is really easy because basically, and you could do 6x6 starting at $8. You can do custom, but I want to make it easy. It will automatically take Instagram, Facebook, or your camera roll. So I already have Instagram in here. So what it'll do is it takes all your pictures off Instagram and just downloads them. You can edit it if you want. But what I decided to do, and I did this with some previous ones, is just do a period of time. So this is when we got the kittens, 2014. So I put the date. And it's just all the pictures from that period of time. You can, if you want, caption it and edit it and all that stuff. But it will take the Instagram captions from it. So you don't really have to do a whole lot to make a book. It's easy. It has the date. It has the location. Again, this is all from Instagram. So since you're already doing all that work posting the stuff on Instagram, it's a simple way, literally with three clicks, to create an Instagram book. And they're very affordable. They're not expensive at all. So this is called Chatbooks. This is one of many, many companies that do this. But there you go. That's Chatbooks. And there's two kinds of people in the world. People who like spending a lot of time making photo books, mm-hmm. and people who just say, I just want some prints. And it's nice that you have the choice. There's different strokes for different folks. Now, if you're willing to spend a little bit more time, and I should mention that these guys are a sponsor. Look at these prints. These are gorgeous. Again, they'll come from, you can take them from Instagram directly. In some cases, we take these from our, you know, we actually upload them and edit them to the website so you can take them from your camera. This is a picture Lisa took of me. So it comes, which is nice. It comes, the way they pack it is great because it is glass, right? So they pack it with a mounting screw and everything.
Oh, that's
and when nice. It comes out, it's really nice because printing on glass, and then it's got the foam core back and you see a little hook. So that's easy to hang on the wall. And they make all sorts of sizes. This is a little bit larger print that I did mm-hmm. for my kids. This is Henry's high school graduation.
Aww,
isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Now, notice it has a black border. The prints that they make are designed for camera phones. They're 4x3. And so if you print directly from the camera phone, like this, it'll come out without a black border. But if you're going to print from something that's 3x2 out of a higher-end digital camera, you can go back in, reformat, and make it look great without a border.
Those are really nice.
Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah.
So I'm personally of the opinion that if you have something that you really like, printing it on glass or metal is a really good way to go. There's something about it that it pops the picture, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where was that?
That's on the train to Machu Picchu in Peru. So it's pretty. That's the Andes. Anyway, that's and I should say they are a sponsor, but I happen to have them here, and I'm really a fan. Fracture, it's fractureme.com.
I was looking through chat books, and even if you don't use Facebook or Instagram,
you can take it from your album.
Yeah, your photos that your loved photos.
It's designed to make it easy. So the first thing you can do is pick your favorites. If you favorited photos in Apple's Photos, it'll just say, "Oh, well, you like those. Let's make a book out of those." Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like chat books. I think it's a very easy. It's inexpensive. I'm sorry I didn't bring my chat book in, but the prints are they're roughly the same quality as these others. They're not. So if you print a photo book from somebody like Apple, you're going to, and maybe Shutterfly too, you're going to get the highest quality. But the less expensive books maybe aren't quite as high a quality. Here's Google's Photos book. And this is easy if you use Google Photos. This is John Slonina, our studio manager, is a big fan of Humphreys McGee, the band, and he went on, kind of followed them on tour for a few days, and he put together a photo book. But this was pretty easy to do. In fact, Google Photos, one of the things it suggests is it uses AI to pick the photos automatically. And the idea is it will make, if you've used Google Photos, you know they'll make a kind of a lots of different displays for you with the assistant. But one of the things you can have it do is make a book. And it's, in theory, going to eliminate out-of-focus pictures. It does prefer pictures with people in it. This is there at Red Rocks. Here's John with the band, which is kind of cool. He sees so many of their concerts, they actually know him personally now. So I think that's right. Do they recognize this? Go, John, when you go in. Huh? They came here. They were here? Oh, yeah, right. They know me, too, apparently. So I think Google Photos is not quite Apple Photos quality, but everybody's got to have a little take on it. Their take on it is, hey, don't do anything. Our artificial intelligence will pick the best pictures from your whole roll and offer you a photo book, which you can, of course, edit. You know, I would suggest just taking out photos you're not crazy about or adding photos you that it missed. Apple does the best job, though, I think, in terms of pure quality. I think Apple does a great job.
So I wanted to also mention another site that there are many like this that will actually let you make money off of these objects.
Ooh, if you could sell them.
Yes, if you're a professional photographer, or even if you're not, and you want to become one. Now, Ant Pruitt, he is a fan of the show. He writes for Tech Republic.
He's going to be on Twit this Sunday.
He is?
Yep.
Oh, well, I noticed that he's a photographer. He's also a drone photographer. He's going to give you some tips.
I am going to ask him, you bet.
He uses a site called Fine Art America, and I have it brought up here. And these are some of his photos, and he just puts his photos up here, and then you can choose one, and then you can order objects. So let's see. I like this one, the Mystical Trail. I choose it, and maybe I want to order a print. I can order a canvas print or a framed print. I can order a throw pillow. Or let's say I want this photo on my duvet cover. I can order a duvet cover, a Mystical Trail duvet cover. So I don't know if I will, although it seems cool to sleep on that beautiful photo. And so I asked Ant, like, how much money do you really, you know, how often do you sell stuff? And he said it's nice to be able to sell these in a royalty-free world, but he also does stock photography and makes a lot more money.
That's where you make money. If you go to a stock photography agency, and you know, especially there's a whole bunch of them now. We've had advertisers, of course, who do it. You can make, you know, I know people sell 70 or 80 pictures a day. Maybe it's only a buck each, but that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I'm excited to
see. You have to be a good photographer.
On Twit this weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to having him on. I do the same thing. Well, I don't do the same thing because nobody wants to buy my pictures. But you could do the same thing with Shutterfly or SmugMug. SmugMug's a service I use that a lot of professional photographers use. SmugMug sells the same kinds of things Shutterfly does. I use it because if somebody wants prints, like family members want prints, and that's, by the way, what Scott Warren says as well with Shutterfly, they can buy them. You know, you just say, I'll share the album with you, buy what you want, and then you're not responsible for making people prints. And you can set the price. So you can set it at cost, which is what, you know, SmugMug's cost is. But if you decide, you know, hey, I've got some really great shots, I'd like to make some money on it, just like Ant's suggestion, SmugMug will let you add whatever you want to the cost. You can set the price for it. They take whatever it costs to make it out of that. That's their commission, and you get the rest. And so a lot of professionals use SmugMug as well, smugmug.com. I think it's $140 a year. You have to be a member. But it's where I put all my photos for sharing. In fact, if you do that, this is my SmugMug archives, and I've been doing this for years. So if you do that, you'll always have, here's the old Twit brick house, a great place to have memories. The Twit Cottage. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember where? This was when we first moved in.
I have a SmugMug album from these days, too.
Yeah, I really like, I've used SmugMug for so long. They've been around for so long. The McCaskills do a great job with it. So this, and you can, by the way, if another reason pros use it is you can make your portfolio and embed it on your web page. SmugMug makes it possible to change the CSS and everything so it matches your page. For a long time, it was kind of, if you went to the photo sections on my website, you'd actually be going to a SmugMug page. It looked the same, had the same design, But then you could order stuff. And if, you know, if you want as a photographer, you can let people download it and stuff too. So I like Smug Mugs. What was Ant's suggestion?
Fine Art America.
Fine Art America. I think they're very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you remember, do you remember Diddy?
Do what Diddy do? I don't remember Diddy.
The Diddy app would let you type things in and it would sing a little song to your words.
Oh.
But now they
You know, that's an Echo skill?
Oh, yes. You can do a Diddy thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But now Diddy will also let you add photos to Diddy. So this was an excellent
It
gift.
Sings your photo album.
Yeah, or your words. So if you show
this is interesting.
I can, so I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to, let's see.
That is a unusual.
Leo, you are an amazing person and
I was
boss
nervous about what you were going to say.
And thank you. Oh, okay.
If you Google Leo, you are, and let it autocomplete, it does not come out that way.
Okay, so then I hit next. Well, I want to add my photos. It's going to... Oh, wait.
Now, you made a song.
Okay, I made a song. Okay. Whoa. And now I added it. Leo, you are an amazing person. Leo, you are an amazing person and boss and wonderful.
Is it adding?
It's adding GIFs or GIFs.
That match the contents?
I mean,
the boss one was good. Oh, it's new.
Yeah, because I rolled the dice.
Dance magic dance.
Okay. I like this.
Wait a minute. I got to get this. Can I have that song and put it on my...
Yeah, you can. I think it's Dread. Let's see if I can change. Yes. Discard my progress,
that is...
Okay. I want to add my photos.
I love this.
D-I-T-T-Y. There was a way to add photos.
No!
Oh, from my library here, I want to add.
I like this. The auto. You put me in it and a snake. That's good.
Okay, so.
Oh man, for a birthday, this would be awesome. Now, how much does that cost?
It's free.
Wait a minute.
Swipe for filters.
Okay, stop playing this song.
Why?
I'm blushing. I love this. D-I-T-T-Y.
D-I-T-T-Y, and you can, yeah.
By Z-Y-A.
I like adding
That's
your
how you,
photos.
This was the music app of the year, but somehow I missed it, so I'm glad you've, that's
and
awesome.
And then I can prepare it and post it.
They do have in-app purchases, so I presume
For the songs. Yeah, you can pay for real songs.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I want to make 10 more right now.
I know. It's so fun. And it's iPad or iPhone. Type all the things anything at all, and Diddy sings it. Seriously. Nice. I wish...
there's an ad, so...
No, that's not an ad. This is just... that's your ad.
Yeah, mine was.
Yeah, I'm playing the music on mine.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's confusing.
This is Shakira.
Oh, you paid for something.
No, I think that...
That comes with it?
That was free. So I'm including this because
awesome.
You can add your own personal photo.
You get ready for an onslaught of Diddy songs coming your way. Wow, I can't wait to play with this. I love it that it does the animated GIFs because then you don't have to really, you know, it's kind of fun when you throw the dice. You never know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And so I've just added these to the Diddy community. So there's you can flip through those.
Diddy is better with friends, it says.
True.
Yeah, so it'd be nice if I had some friends so I could share these songs. But wouldn't that be good for happy birthday or happy anniversary or congratulations on the new baby? Make a song and put some pictures. I think that's a great idea. I love this. Ditty.
Ditty.
By Z-Y-A.
Zia.
Yeah.
Or Z-Y-A.
Zia?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Zia.
Yeah.
Diddy.
Yeah.
Fun for the whole family. Do you have any more or shall we?
No, I think we've done enough.
Okay.
I think we've... done an awful lot. That's fantastic. Some great stuff. And just a little inspiration, something to do with all those pictures you've been taking.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably time to talk about
Jamf. Oh, we're so glad to have Jamf. I love Jamf. J-A-M-F. Jamf's now, called Jamf Now. That's their on-demand mobile device management platform. This is for a business. You know, when we first, we're ready for Jamf. We don't use it yet. I think we probably should. When you first start a business and you're small and, you know, you give your computers Macs or you give them iPhones or you give them iPads, you probably can manage it by yourself. But as the enterprise grows and you get more and more of them, you probably would like these features that Jamf now provides. Mobile device management for Apple devices. For instance, somebody loses their iPad. Jamf now makes it easy to secure it, and a lot more easy to secure it. It makes management tasks like, for instance, deploying Wi-Fi passwords. Do you ever have to go to Russell and say, "What's the?" I do this all the time. Mm-hmm. I forgot. What's the password to the Wi-Fi? Now he could just push it out to your iPad. You could secure company data. You can enforce passphrases or passcodes. It's affordable and it's easy to use. If you're struggling facing this issue of how do we control all these iPhones and iPads in our business, Jamf Now is the solution. It allows you to centrally deploy apps too. So if you use a standardized app for your business, you can look at the device details. You can get a 360-degree view of your inventory. You don't need to be an IT expert. Look at it on the screen. It's easy to use. It's easy to set up. It's easy to manage, and it will protect your Apple devices. And you can do it all in minutes. You didn't get in this to be an IT person. But on the other hand, those iPads are pretty valuable. You want to keep track of them. Start securing your business today with Jamf Now. You want to know how affordable it is? Well, start at Jamf.com, JAMF.com/iOS today. You can create a free Jamf Now account, free for your first three devices, free. And then if you want to add more devices, it's just $2 per month per device. It's very affordable. You know, we're going to have to start using this. We have a lot of iPads around the business. JAMF, Jamf.com/iOS today. Give Jamf Now a try to protect your devices. The first three are free. Jamf.com/iOS today.
We got some email.
Email!
Jennifer saw our episode last week about mm-hmm. Hurricane Harvey. She's in Houston, and she is doing okay. She said
good.
She's very grateful. She's out of her house. She's never been more grateful to be able to leave the house and get fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, a lot of people, of course, you see all the people in shelters, but there were people, many, who were, as your parents. No, Stacey Higginbotham's parents were trapped in their house.
A lot of my friends
because
were.
You couldn't drive your car, so you couldn't leave.
Yeah. So Jennifer writes, I'm in Houston and social media and my iPhone have been invaluable to keep in touch with everyone and get information. I thought I was all tied in, but there were a few things you covered that I hadn't thought of. Also, the crank radios like the one that Leo was demoing can power your phone in the case of a total power outage.
That's a very good point. I showed the Eaton crank radio that John has in a car and I neglected to show there's two USB ports that you could mm-hmm. plug a phone into so you could keep that going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would take a lot to give a little juice, but it could be a real.
Well, it's better than nothing.
If you're stranded.
Yeah, yeah. So. Eaton makes a lot of these devices. I think Sea Crane also offers the crank radios. And, you know, if you're in Florida or the Caribbean, here comes Hurricane Irma. We're always at risk here on the West Coast from earthquakes. Natural disasters happen, and it's a good idea to plan. I think vital idea to plan. I mean, this is just consider this a lesson for the rest of us to get those crank radios and things like that, flashlights and so forth.
And I was also, I said last week that Siri was no help. I said, Siri is no help in this emergency. That is wrong. Taylor,
really?
14-year-old Taylor, she asked Siri to call the Coast Guard and saved her family. So that's been in the news.
Wow.
Her mom actually posted on Facebook about that. I think we have a link to that story.
She probably had the Coast Guard in her address book, though.
I don't know.
Siri,
I don't know.
Call the Coast Guard. Yeah. She won't call anything that's not in your address book. It's not like, so by the way, that's pretty important. I don't want people to think that, oh, I'll just say, actually, you might be able to call 911.
Well, she tried to call
911.
Call 911 first.
Ooh, yeah, it will call 911. You get 3 seconds to cancel it, and I did. So that does work. Okay.
So you think she had the Coast Guard?
Well,
in her.
What Siri? If I did that, let's try it again. Call the Coast Guard. It gives me some numbers, But she either had the Coast Guard in her address book, which, by the way, maybe not a bad idea.
But she might have said that and it gave her numbers and she pressed one of the numbers.
And more likely what happened is she did that. Yeah. You always have to, you know, the mainstream press just loves these magic devices, but they often don't really understand how they work. So, but that is a good tip. It will call 911 for you. But remember, if it's calling 911, it'll do that. If it'll do that from your iPad, it's going to do it through your iPhone. The iPad doesn't have calling capability. Mm-hmm. So you're either doing it on your iPhone or if you're doing it through the iPad, as I just did, and it was about to call, gave you 3 seconds to cancel, it does it because it's paired through Continuity. It's paired with my iPhone.
Yeah, she did it on her iPhone.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone let me try it on here. Call 911 first.
Call the Coast Guard.
Calling emergency services.
Oh, it will do that. But what it did is it didn't call the Coast Guard. It says, I'm going to call emergency services. Interesting. So there are some... Okay. That was interesting that the iPad had a different reaction to that. So it's probably not calling the Coast Guard. It's calling emergency services. But nevertheless, which is 911, right? Mm-hmm. Although, because he did it in a British accent, I'm thinking maybe he was calling the UK. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, that's the problem with 911. It's not, you know.
It's E911 on a smartphone.
Yeah.
So here's another tip. If you have a smartphone, register with your phone company your home address or wherever it is you use a smartphone the most, because that's the address responders will go to. Remember, when you call from a home phone, they can see on the caller ID where that phone is, but a mobile phone could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. So all carriers do allow you to enter in a default address, but if you're on you're stranded on the road or you're at work, you're somewhere not in your default address, you know, it's not going to automatically communicate that location information. So that's one of the, and you'll see a lot of warnings about E911. It tends not to call because it doesn't know where you are. It'll call a regional services. This is what this phone said it was going to do, call regional emergency services. They may not respond as quickly as if you called the fire department down the street, right? So, or call a local 911 center. So if you want to know more, read up on E911, what it can and can't do. And remember that devices like Amazon's Echo, can't call 911. So, you know, there are limitations to many of these devices. It's probably worthwhile learning what they can do.
Yeah, but my takeaway from this story is that use everything you got in an emergency. Like, if you can't reach, I mean, to call 911 first, and if you can't, try everything, and this 14-year-old did.
Yeah.
Harry in Iowa has a real dilemma. He needs our help. He says, this past Saturday, I decided that I was not going to wait any longer for the new iPhone, and I purchased an iPhone 7 Plus, 256.
Harry, you can't wait 2 weeks.
You can't.
A week from today.
Lots of money for sure. I didn't really care about the 8 or whatever it's called. I loved my wife's 7 Plus, so I pulled the trigger. Now I'm not so sure.
Uh-oh.
And I'm the last of my family to get one, and now everyone is yelling, why didn't you wait?
Including Leo.
I'm not going to spend more than I did on the 7 Plus, and I know that the 8 is going to cost more.
Yes, probably.
I like this phone. It has everything I need, and I also have an S8, so I have the best of both. I think, am I crazy or is it all right to be perfectly happy with what I bought?
Well, let's first of all point out that Apple is going to probably, again, Apple doesn't say, this is all rumor. The only thing we know for sure is there's an event in 1 week. You and I will be sitting here covering it live from our studios, 10 a.m. Pacific time next Tuesday. But now everything else I'm going to say is speculation. One more thing. It's going to be at the Steve Jobs Theater in the new Apple campus. Now, let's speculate. 3 new phones, probably, and including an update to the iPhone 7 and the 7 Plus, the one he just bought. But will the 7S or 7S Plus be a huge update? Probably not. So you're going to... the only reason it might have been worth waiting is because the price would have dropped on the phone that you're buying, because it will now be obsolete. So everybody will pay the full price for a 7S Plus, but you might have been able to get a few $100 off the 7 Plus. But not a big improvement. Now, the 8, we don't know. If there is an improvement, this is what it'll be. Face recognition, bigger screen, OLED screen, going almost all the way to the edges, top and bottom, left and right. No more physical home button. So that's something I think some people are going to complain about. That also means no more Touch ID. And that's why the face recognition is so important. It will also have, probably, I'm thinking, improved cameras, and it'll support this new HEIF standard, high-efficiency image format standard that will give your photos coming from your iPhone more capabilities, higher quality, more data, on and on and on. Will you feel bad? I don't think so. And you really won't feel bad when you see the price. This is, again, speculation, but $1,000 for the base model, which is probably going to be a 64 gigabyte model, $1,100 for 128 gigabytes, or 256. Actually, I guess the rumors we'd heard are is it 64, 256, and 512? So 100 more for the 256 and then 100 more for the 512. I think you're fine. I really do. I think
say
you're fine.
To Harry, that sounds like buyer's remorse. It's normal. Tell your family tell your family you are happy with your decision.
Well, and I should point out one more thing. Apple's really good about exchanging it.
Right.
If the new iPhone comes out and you bought it within the last 2 weeks, you can go into Apple and say, and they'll give you the new one. Now, they'll also charge you the additional fee. So if you do have buyer's remorse, it's not too late. You could even do it now, I think, probably go into Apple. It depends when he mailed this. But if you buy an iPhone from now on, you can always exchange it for the next version when it comes out.
You and your TWIT panel, Leo, had an excellent discussion of the price of the iPhone. I recommend everyone, if you haven't watched that yet, download TWIT from yesterday or 2 days ago and listen to it. And a lot of good points. You guys brought up a lot of good points about why it was going to be so expensive, how everyone was going to be really upset about how expensive it is, but that they're charging that much for people who don't care about paying that much,
right.
And that money's going to go to innovation.
It would make sense, again, this is all speculation, if they offer three phones, that they're going to offer two iPhone 7Ss that will be at the same price, you know, just improvements at the same price as the current iPhone 7Ss. But I think we all agreed on the panel that there is a group of people, obviously people with more money, more discretionary income, but there's a group of people who would say to Apple, if we could, hey, Apple, spare no expense, put everything you can into this phone. Let's see what you can do if you don't consider price as one of the factors. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And the comparison, I think it was probably Phil Libin made, former CEO of Evernote, is to Tesla, where when Tesla came out with its first few editions, they were really wildly expensive. They were luxury cars. I mean, they were priced at the high end of the car price. But Elon said at the time, and he always said it was very upfront about this, that's because we're going to use the people who buy this small group of luxury car buyers, to subsidize an affordable version down the road. The money they spend on this car will help us bring these technologies to a more affordable level. And I think Apple could probably make that case. This is, you know, this is the first phone with these technologies, but we'll see these migrate down to lower end phones. I know a lot of people still have iPhone 6Ss because they want the headphone jack.
Yeah.
And there isn't that much difference between the 6S and the 7 or 7 Plus. I don't think there'll be much difference at all between the 7S and the 7. But this iPhone 8, if that's what it's called, will be very interesting anyway for the technologies in it. We'll buy it because we have to review it. If it were just, you know, if I were just a normal guy, I probably wouldn't buy it because it will be very high priced. And I'm not convinced that the technologies will be so much advanced that they'll be worth it. Apple makes a lot of money on these phones. The profit margin is almost half. So they could charge less if they wanted to.
But I mean, I think maybe if you think of it like a tax, like why does everyone feel like they need to upgrade every year?
Right.
I know a lot of people who upgraded to the 7 and they didn't really know why they did that, especially if they weren't upgrading to the 7 Plus and they didn't even get the new camera. My dad, for example, is like, he was on that plan where, you know, you upgrade every year, and he just did it. And, you know, it was one of the tricky plans where it wasn't free to upgrade.
Right.
You know, he had to pay more every month, and he wasn't happy about it. There wasn't anything new about it. Maybe we don't need to upgrade.
I don't
think
we do.
So it's like
Like I said, Alex Lindsay's using an iPhone 6 because he wants the headphone jack. Mm-hmm. And he says it's fine. It's not that different. Mm-hmm. So I think you probably won't have buyer's remorse once you see this new phone. You'll say, well, for that money, is it worth it? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve has a question about next week, too. He says, hi, guys. I've been reading a lot about the new iOS release. Does it happen before the keynote address or after?
No one knows, but I can tell you what's happened in the past. Apple will announce on Tuesday, 1 week from today, they will announce whatever new products. And they will say, generally what they say is, you can pre-order those products this Friday. And you'll get the product 10 days or 2 weeks later. And in between the announcement and the pre-order, they will release iOS 11. That's generally what happens. So on Wednesday or Thursday, the new version of iOS should come out. But, you know, truthfully, you can try the beta now. And it's, I got another one. Is it six?
Nine or eight.
Nine. I mean, they when you start to see these beta releases speed up as we have, it tells you that, you know, we're very close to the final version. So we're both using iOS 11. I find it rock solid. The only issue, if you wanted to try the public beta, you still can do that. The only issue would be some apps won't work with it. I haven't found any apps that I use that don't. But you should check, because if there's an app you really need, that may not work with it. All the mainstream apps do. And by now, I'd expect almost everything does, because we know it's coming in a week.
And sometimes don't they do it during the, like, sometimes they say, like,
they
in
have.
iOS 11,
they
you
have.
Can get it right now.
Yeah.
It's under your seat.
My memory, my memory may be faulty, but I think the last 2 years, they've released it a day or two after the event. It probably has a lot to do with how close to ready it is, mm-hmm. right? Why not release it now? It's such a big upgrade. If, you know, I wouldn't worry about it on the phone. In fact, I haven't even tried it on the phone yet. And I think that there's things about it that don't make sense on the phone. But if you have an iPad Pro, you should be running iOS 11 now. I think it's ready to go, and it is a huge improvement on the Pro.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, one last question before we get to our app cap. Bernsey writes, I'm a huge fan of iOS today, and that's how I got to answer his question. I'm just kidding. You don't have to give us praise. I'm wondering if you guys can help me with an issue I have with Apple's photo library. I love using it. However, I hate that it won't let me leave full-res videos on my phone when I'm in optimized storage mode.
That's what that means.
Are there any third-party apps that would let me manage my videos separately? Downloading the full res 4K videos is a real pain. So why are you laughing?
Because that's what the feature optimized photos means, is take the big full size videos off and photos off and put smaller versions on. If you don't want that, turn it off.
Right, but he just wants it for the video. Like, can
he wants to optimize photos only.
Yes. So what I was going at, I think this would be a common problem.
Guess,
you would have 4K videos.
Yeah, those are even bigger than the photos. I mean, you're going to run out of space.
On your, like if you have enough space to have on your 4K videos, why not just, I don't know, maybe it doesn't take very many photos, but that doesn't make sense either. Well, my first thought was you can do that if you have a Pixel. Do you do that with your Pixel that you can, you know?
You're saying get an Android phone?
Yeah, I'm saying stop watching this show. Android, All About Android's a great show.
Wow.
No, keep your iPad, get a Pixel, and then you can upload 4K video. That's solution one.
What you're probably going to have to do is use something else to store those 4K videos and let Apple optimize, and then just have a copy of them on Dropbox or somewhere else that you can. He says he doesn't want to download them.
Yeah, he wants to have them. He wants to be able to stream them. What about something like Backblaze? Is that something that you could use to?
Not anymore. They just killed their consumer service.
Oh, Backblaze B2? Is that something different?
Backblaze only does now a business version of Backblaze.
But it's still pretty. I think it's still relatively cheap for the business. When we did compare something,
well,
went out of business.
Yeah, I mean, Backblaze, I probably would go with something like Dropbox. Problem is, these are giant. That's why it's optimizing them. Mm-hmm. What happens if you put them in the TV app? Mm-hmm. It's not going to optimize them. So, that's probably one way to do it is to, and how would you get them in the TV app? You know, the TV app shows you the videos that it's annoying because it takes forever to load the TV app because it's checking to see if there's any new shows. But there is a private library version, you know, place on that TV app. Do the videos you've taken, so click library.
I've
up
gotten
here.
The library. Okay, click.
And then at the bottom, it says Megan's personal library. No. See, you don't have any. Okay, so you don't have any videos. Let me see.
So it doesn't take my videos.
Let me just see what it has on mine, because.
So the videos from iPhoto aren't.
They aren't in there, right. Oh, see, if you don't... Okay, good. So I don't have any videos on here. So what this is going to require, it's kind of a pain, but it's going to be fast, is you connect this to your Mac or PC, to iTunes, and you take the 4K videos that you want to save out of the photo album, you know, by syncing your photo album, but then you sync it using iTunes into your video library, like just like a movie, like a commercial movie, and then it will show up. I don't have any, and neither do you. But that's actually a good test because nothing in the photo album is showing up in the library, the personal library. But once you add a video to the personal library, you'll have another entry here that's your personal library, and that will be your 4K videos. So it is involving, in effect, downloading full 4K copies of it. But you can do it by connecting a cable and syncing, so it's a lot faster. And that's, I mean, I don't know if that's going to work with your workflow. There's some reason why he wants to save these. Maybe he's using his iPad to shoot 4K videos, or is using a drone maybe to shoot 4K videos. They're ending up on the iPad, and then they're getting downsized or optimized. And so if you put them somewhere else, they'll be safe. The key is it's only optimizing stuff that's in your photo roll. So if you export them to iTunes and then import them to the TV, but that might apply too if you're using, was it F5 video? What is the video app? Import it into Luma Vision, for instance. This is, or Luma Fusion. This is the app that we talked about that lets you edit stuff, videos. If you put them in a video editing app, that's going to be the data of the video editing app now, not in your photo roll. It'll import it from your photo roll, but it's going to be saved elsewhere. Those will not be optimized. So I guess the general answer to this is find an app that you can use your 4K video on. I presume if he's got 4K video and he wants to save it, it's because he's going to edit, open iMovie and import it, and it'll stay there. It won't get down-resed after that.
Okay, well, that's a good... I assumed he just had some awesome footage of him, you know, surfing or something and wanted to show it off to people in all occasions.
It's not even a 4K screen, is it?
The iPhone?
I know the iPhone isn't. The iPad, is the highest-res iPad 4K? I don't think so. So the reason it's optimizing it is because you can't see all that detail. I'm just not sure what... There's a reason he wants to do this. And I know, actually, I'm not mocking you. If you have a good reason for saving it, there's some ways to do it. Import it into a video editing or a video viewing program.
All right. You ready for some app cap?
Is it time to put a funny hat on?
It's time to put a funny hat.
All right. I got my party hat here. I
also have my party
hat. Miami Beach, New Year's Eve, 1979. It's a dinosaur hat.
Yeah, or is it a dinosaur or a crocodile? I don't know.
Could be. Depends. Did you get it in Miami Beach?
I got it. I just picked it up off your wall. We wear funny hats.
Why do we wear funny hats?
I need to have better posture, and I want to make sure this one doesn't fall off. So, also, because it's app cap time.
Oh, that's a good reason. We're going to pick our favorite apps of the week.
Mm-hmm. And we wear caps because the app rhymes with cap. And let's go. Mine, if you are in or around Houston or any of the areas around Texas that were affected by Hurricane Harvey and you want to help, you want boots on the ground kind of help, if you want to offer, there's an app. It's the Fulcrum app. So what they're doing is, this is part of Harvey Relief, which was a group of people that got together on Twitter, a lot of people from the West Coast, like, what can we do? They use mapping software, different technology to try to rescue people. And now, of course, they are in the long relief phase. And this app, what it will do is if you download it, you can help assess the damage. So you download the Fulcrum app, and then what you'll do is you'll take photos of the damage. You're not talking to people. You don't have to interview people. You're just outside of people's houses taking photos. And then if you download the app, there's a little video that will explain what you do and what words you're supposed to use. So there's a little pocket guide will help you describe the damage. So is it minor? Is it major? Is it destroyed? And then they're going to open source this data and give it to FEMA or give it to the Red Cross or whoever needs it to be able to give relief quicker, to be able to figure out who needs relief where and who needs money. And just
so this must have been just generated quickly and put up on the App Store. That's really great.
Yeah, so we can play a little bit of that video link, Carsten, that I have in there that it sort of explains a little bit. It takes a look at the app, and it's pretty easy. I mean, you just, and you can see real live. If you're, you know, if you're assessing damage, you can look on a map and see what needs to be assessed and what's already been assessed. So it's
I'm knocking on wood that this doesn't have to be repurposed for Irma, but it's nice to have these apps there because there will be a time this will be needed in other places. That's great.
So we have the link in the show notes.
What's it called?
It's called the Fulcrum app. And look up hashtag Harvey Relief on Twitter.
Is it just for Harvey or could it, I mean...
You can use it for other.
So it was used for other disasters. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. The Fulcrum. Good app.
Yes.
My app is a little bit not... now I feel guilty about my app because my app is how to find a great restaurant.
We all need to eat.
So there was a really interesting article in the New York Times this week about how restaurateurs are rebelling against the classic app for this, which is OpenTable. And I've used OpenTable for years. If you're not using OpenTable, there's a lot of advantages for the user using OpenTable. In fact, Lisa and I use it all the time. We used it yesterday. We were out and about on Labor Day. We were looking for a restaurant that was open on Labor Day. OpenTable will let you pick your location. Of course, it'll use your current location, but it'll also, let's say I'm going to be going down to San Francisco, show you restaurants in San Francisco. You can say, you can narrow the search down. So, for instance, what am I looking for? Am I looking for a table for two tonight at 7 p.m.? Here's some options. These are restaurants in San Francisco. Oh, I love La Colonial. It's in the old Trader Vic's building, and it's kind of a Vietnamese fusion. It's really wonderful. So, look, there are three tables available, 6:45, 7 p.m., and 7:15 around my time. That's good news. So I could book it just by pressing that button. I'm not going to do it. Well, I'll start. I could book it just by pressing the button. And and by the way, there's lots more information about it, including popular dishes, the full menu, reviews, location, all of this. A really great way, not just in the U.S., but in all sorts of places. Now, OpenTable is the best known because it's been around the longest, almost 20 years. I didn't realize that. And some restaurateurs don't like it. OpenTable takes $1 a reservation, even if it cancels.
Oh.
Some restaurateurs don't like that. Plus, they require you to use their technology, so you have to use it for your reservation system. There are restaurateurs who say, oh, this is the greatest thing ever because, you know, we never could find our booking book, and this just makes it easy for us. There are restaurateurs that don't like it and hold back some of the best tables just in case. You know, it's a mixed bag. So there have been other apps created. And if you are the kind of person who uses and likes OpenTable, first of all, if you've never used it, get it and try it. If you like to go out every once in a while, it's the easiest way to make a reservation. You accumulate points, which you can use on Amazon and other places. It's very informational, and it just makes it fast and easy. Although I was interested to read in this article that something like 2/3 of all table bookings still happen by phone. There's people who like to talk to the restaurant. So if you're one of those people, maybe OpenTable's not great for you. I'm the kind of person who says, I just want it fast. I don't want to have to talk to anybody. I don't want to be put on hold. Let's just make this easy. But since some restaurateurs, particularly the higher-end restaurants, don't like OpenTable, there's a new game in town. And what I decided is, well, I should just have both. This is called Resy, and actually it's an iPhone app. So let me put it on my – let me show you on my iPhone. R-E-S-Y, like a reservation. It's got a big R on it. It does very much the same thing as OpenTable. It'll be a much more limited set of restaurants, but these restaurants aren't using OpenTable. So that's one of the problems. If everybody was on OpenTable, well, it'd be easy. But some restaurateurs, especially high-end, say, no, we don't want to use it, but we will use Resy, which was created by a restaurateur. So you see, it's similar. I could say the party size, what time. I can choose the city that I'd like to be in. Let's dine in Austin, shall we? Mm. So let's see what restaurants are available in Austin. And these are the restaurants, quite a few, that are in Austin that use Resy. Again, they'll either use Resy or OpenTable or not at all. So that's the other risk, is you might miss a great restaurant that isn't, in fact, on either of those. So my phone is getting upset at me for saying I'm going to go have dinner in Austin. So this is another choice. Some of these restaurants require that you add a credit card because they want confirmation that, you know, if you don't show up, they're going to charge you. These are higher-end restaurants. Those are the restaurants that tend to do that. But I think it's a good idea to have both, I guess, is the answer. I'm giving you two apps for the price of one. Both of them free and both of them very useful, especially if you're traveling and you're looking for somewhere to eat and you don't know what's great. They'll have reviews, menus, lots of information about those restaurants so you can get a good idea of what you're getting. OpenTable, that's a must-have. And Resy, the only thing I would say is not everybody's on both. So if, you know, another thing to do would be to search Yelp or somewhere and see. By the way, Yelp is also doing this now. You can also make reservations on Yelp, and some restaurateurs are using Yelp. Although, as with many businesses, small businesses aren't crazy about Yelp because of the review thing and all of that stuff. So have Yelp on there, too. I use all three.
Good advice.
Time to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've done it. We've finished the race. And this is the last full episode before
the big day. So how are we going to do this? We haven't decided, or have we?
I think
we said we're going to record on Wednesday next week. Is that what we're going to do? Yeah.
Record on Wednesday.
I'm glad somebody took notes.
Yes.
So just so you'll know, the Apple event is next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC. So we will not be here for iOS today. We will be here for that event. We'll start about 9:50 a.m. So roughly a little bit later, but roughly the same time we do iOS today. It'll be you and me and Andy Iannocco, I think, be joining us. Sorry?
Alex Lindsay.
Andy will be here. Oh, so Andy will come later. So you, me, and Alex Lindsay will watch the event. We'll comment, as we always do. Appy's going to stream it live, and we'll be talking about it. Renee Ritchie will be in the event. We're going to try to get him on the next show, which will come on the air as soon as the Apple event's over, usually around noon or maybe a little bit earlier. Mac Break Weekly with Andy and Alex and Renee and me. And then we'll continue on with our schedule as normal, Security Now and TNT and all of that. But the following day, because we didn't want to do an iOS Today before the event, that'd be silly.
It'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy. We'd be talking about stuff that's already happened. So we're going to do it on Wednesday morning, 9 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Is that right?
Like that.
Yes. Carson says A-OK. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and that is 1600 UTC. So join us Wednesday of next week for iOS Today. But still be here Tuesday, because I think this is going to be a very interesting Apple event, the very first from the new Steve Jobs Theater on Apple Park, their brand new campus, the Spaceship Campus.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right, so we'll see you next Tuesday, same place, a little bit later.
Same
and if you can't watch live, you can watch. We'll have that available later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything we do is on demand.
Subscribe.
In fact, if you watch this show live, please be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. But if you don't, fire up. I'm going to show you how you do it. Fire up an app. In fact, there's a couple of apps. We have a lot of Twit apps. I'm a fan for iOS, for both iPad and iPhone, of MyTwit. We've talked about this before. It is a very easy-to-use app where you can subscribe, you can watch live. But here's what we say. This is a list of all the shows, and you just find iOS Today on that list. There it is. And you press the Add to My Twit button right here. And now that's going to be a subscription that whenever you fire up your iPad, you will have a copy of iOS Today, audio or video. I also use Pocket Casts. You like Pocket Casts? Let me fire up Pocket Casts, show you how easy it is to do in Pocket Casts. One of the things that's great about Pocket Casts is you have an account, and so you can use it on your iPad and your iPhone, and it'll keep both of them up to date. There's a little Discover tab in here. Just search for either Twit, the network, or iOS Today, if you know that's the show you want. Once you find it, I'm sure we're in here.
You are, because I have.
Well, okay, maybe you do have to do a space. So that's okay. That's good to know. Then you're going to choose the version you want, which is video high, MP3, video low, high quality, low quality, or HD. HD is the highest quality. That's a little confusing, isn't it? But say you want to listen to the podcast, just click the check button, and now it will be one of your regular podcasts, and it'll be downloaded automatically. I guess what I'm saying is find your favorite tool. iTunes is fine, too. There's all sorts of podcatchers. And subscribe. That way, whenever it is that you want to listen, you can.
Or watch. Or both.
Actually, you should watch, because then you see our hats.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all we got.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.